you, babe. Say, how about... Arch?
Does that answer your question, buddy?
The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern. You all remember Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's famous Maisie pictures. In just a moment, you will hear Maisie in radio, starring the same glamorous star you all went to see and loved on the screen, Ann Southern. But first, your announcer. Southern as Maisie.
Yep, I'm Maisie, like the man said. Maisie Revere of Brooklyn. And I guess you know I'm in show business. You know what that is. The most exciting way of starving yourself to death. I've been looking around in radio lately, so I was on my way to see Mary Jane Appleby, who plays the lead in the soap opera, Mary Jane's Other Husband. Or can a girl over 30 still find happiness in spite of her advanced age? Mary Jane used to be in pictures, and I knew she'd help me if she could. So I was walking over toward the studio when a bus stopped, the doors opened, and the driver and one of the passengers got out. It seemed to me to be Max Gubernick, a guy I used to work for in a Hindu mind reading ad. He had on his turban and everything.
So you're going to have my head chopped off, are you?
Yes, but a little bit at a time.
Wise guy.
First, your right ear will be sliced off and fed to the sacred crocodile. Then, zip your left ear, and I will toss this to the royal vulture.
Look, buddy, I don't like you fortune tellers, and I'm going to change your face around a little.
Dare to touch me, you dog, and lightning will strike you down.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me through. Let me through now. Just a second, driver. Stop. We've got enough trouble without you starting another war.
Listen, sister, this is a free country, and I can start all the wars I want to. Come on.
Now, wait a minute. Not with this man. Why, he's a royal visitor in New York. He's Harun al-Rashid, the Sultan of Baghdad.
I don't care if he's out of Babby. I'm going to strain him through a sewer grate.
Only a sultan, young lady, you insult me.
Come on, put up your duke's towel head.
Later. I am his royal and imperial highness, the Maharaja of Downpour, the Sakwar of Plurgash. I am his awesomeness, the Namapur of Groomba.
Don't overdo it, Max. Look, driver, you're tying up traffic. Get back into your bus before the police get here.
Nothing doing. I'm going to tear this guy apart. Get away from him.
Help, help.
Oh, quick, Max. Here comes the police.
Yeah, where do we go?
Hey, taxi. Come on, Max. Run. There's a cop, driver. Don't waste any time. Max Dugan, so-and-so. You sure made it tough for me to rescue you back there. Now, let's drop that English accent, huh?
This is not an accent. I went to Cambridge and so did my son after me. And, young lady, I am not Max Gubernick. I am not Max anybody.
Oh, now, come on. I know that little beard isn't real. I bet it comes right off.
Hint!
Oh, holy smoke, you grew a real one. Well, Max, you remember me, Maisie Revere. I worked in your mind reading act at the Saltwater Hotel in Florida.
Miss Revere, I will overlook the fact that you pulled my beard, every single hair of which is sacred in my country. But stop calling me Max.
Well, who in the world are you then? You can't really be all those important people you said you were, can you?
Certainly. I have a lot more people, too. I am the God of Gorbish, King Protector of Karagul, the Shambul of Scheherazade, etc., etc.
You mean you're really a high mucky muck?
That is not the customary term, Miss Revere, but yes, of all the high mucky mucks in the Far East, I am of the highest and the muckiest.
Gee, and I thought you were that stinker, Max Gubernick.
Well, then why did you help me?
Well, you look like you were in trouble, and I can't keep from helping anybody who's in trouble. I guess there's a little bit of jerk in everybody, and that's how it comes out in me.
Hey, well, it was very kind of you. I'm sure I was acting very foolishly, but I am a Maharaja. And I'm not accustomed to having people say to me, step to the rear of the bus, buddy.
Well, if you're a Maharaja, what were you doing in a bus?
Yeah, well, it's a long story. First, I got lost in the subway. I was observing what is called the morning rush on the platform with my Grand Vizier, Hakim. A train stopped, a door opened, a man shoved me in, the door closed, and the next thing I knew, Brooklyn.
So what was wrong with Brooklyn?
You are from there?
I am.
My, what lovely weather we are having now.
Well, I think we'd better get you back right away. What are you saying in New York?
It's a little quaint place on Park Avenue.
Oh, yeah, I know. Driver, take us to the Waldorf. You mean to say you came all the way over to this country to break up the romance between your son and an American girl?
Yes, Maisie, it would be very bad. I am not a young man. Someday, Benegal's country will need him, and he will be over here with his wife.
Yeah, but Ma, how was there in love?
Love there.
Well, now, just a second. You can't talk that way about love in America, Maha. We consider love almost as sacred as hot apple pie or cold beer. Apparently, there's no romance in your country.
There you are wrong. In Downpour, the men come galloping out of the night, sweep you into their arms, and carry you off into the hills. Does that happen to women anywhere in this country?
It does if they walk down Hollywood Boulevard alone. But, getting back to your son, Wow.
What's the matter, Maisie?
Well, that peculiar fragrance. I know I'm wrong, but it smells like there's a camel around here.
There is. Don't you like the aroma?
No, it's a little too gamey for me. I remember a circus I was in once. Whenever a camel walked into the tent, the goats fainted.
Well, I take him with me because he reminds me of my native country.
Where is he?
In the next room, on the other side of that door.
Which door? Oh. Oh, yeah, of course. The one that the paint's peeling off of. Well, getting back to your problem.
Yes, Maisie. What would you do in my place? The girl is just a fortune hunter. I have checked on her family. They have at the most 2 or 3 million.
Oh, paupers, huh?
The girl would not be good for him, Maisie. She would ruin his life, and he would ruin our country. I must think of my country, Maisie.
Well, something ought to be done to break it up, then.
Exactly. It would be a service to your country as well as mine. Would you do it, Maisie?
Well, gee, I don't know.
You wouldn't like the girl.
I hate to see a nice guy get hooked.
Of course. If I thought they were really in love, it would be different.
Okay, I'll do it. I'll see what I can do to break it up.
Oh, thank you, Maisie. You are as generous as you are beautiful.
Well, thanks.
Excuse me while I ring for my Grand Vizier Hakim.
Command me, your imperial awesomeness.
Hakim, see that Miss Revere is driven to where my son Benegal meets with that girl. She may have anything she needs.
It shall be as you say, O soaring eagle of the mountains, most noble collector of the sacred camel hair, conquering dove of the east and keeper of the golden beasting.
Anything you would like Hakim to do, Maisie?
Well, I suggest he burn some old tires and feathers in the next room to cover up the smell of the camel.
It shall be done, glorious one.
No, I was just kidding. But before I go to see the girl, could I powder my nose and sort of fix up a little?
Of course. Right down the hall and turn to the left. You can't miss it.
Thank you. I'll be right back.
Yeah, Hakim?
Command me, protector of the silver snail.
Bring the soft pigeon of the west, the beautiful Miss Revere, back here if she accomplishes her mission.
It shall be as you say, O angelic sprinkler of the royal bamboos, most noble and generous.
Hakim, stop wasting my time with my long titles. And if the girl does not accomplish her mission...
Yes?
Bring her back here anyway for my imperial disapproval.
It shall be as you command, O feeder of the royal vultures.
Good afternoon. I wonder if Miss Nancy Vanderbilt is home.
No, and I'm afraid she never will be again.
Really? Well, what do you mean?
She's just zipped off with Prince Benegal to get married at City Hall, and she won't be Miss Vanderbilt very long.
Holy Pete. Darn that stoplight. You mean you're Nancy Vanderbilt, the awful girl he's going to marry here?
Well, yes, but it isn't a very flattering description.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. It's just that I got the idea that you were sort of the face in the bottle of ant poison.
Well, Father's pretty upset about us, and he said some things about Nancy you'll have to apologize for later.
Gee, you kids have sure thrown me a curve. You're both swell. I can't break up a combination like this.
You haven't a chance. Oh, but you could help us if you wouldn't mind.
Sure.
Next.
We need a witness. Would you be our witness?
For sure. What have I got to lose? Well, maybe I'll find that out when I explain this to the Maharaja.
And then what happened?
Well, they went on with the ceremony. You know, you've been married.
Yes, many times. I stopped counting at 25.
You ought to write a book.
Believe me, I could write a book. But to go on, you did not stop the ceremony?
No, I was a witness. I gave both of them away.
A witness? You mean you helped them?
Yes. And they're both nice kids, Maha. You like that girl.
I will not like her.
You bought for me your lofty eminence.
Hakim, when we came to this country, did you bring your executioner scimitar?
Executioner scimitar? Now, wait a minute.
Ah, but of course, magnificent. One never knows when you will need it to solve some weighty problem.
I need it now.
Not for me. I was just trying to help.
You have ruined me and my country, and the penalty for that is death.
But you can't do this. I'm an American citizen.
That's right. Yell all you want to, Miss Revere, because whether you like it or not, you're going to lose your head.
Oh, this is terrible. I just got a new permanent last week.
The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern, will continue in just a moment.
I, His Royal and Imperial Highness, the Maharaja of Downpour, the Sakwar of Plurgash, the Jeddah of Karagul, the Nematode of Grumba, and many other illustrious things too numerous to mention, hereby condemn Maisie Revere to death by the sword, the sentence to be carried out as soon
now,
as...
Now, wait. You cannot do this to me. We're here in America, and you're talking like a story out of the Arabian Nights.
Miss Revere, wherever His Majestic Dazzlement happens to be, that is a little bit of his country. Right here in this room, he has complete powers of life or death.
I don't believe it, but you can prove it to me by dropping dead right now.
Hakim, go out and put an edge on the scimitar.
It shall be as you command, O illustrious trainer of the Imperial Hyenas. It will take me only a moment.
Now look, Maha, this is ridiculous. Those kids were going to get married no matter what anybody said or did.
You could have stopped them. Now you must pay with your head.
See, I think you're really serious.
I am. When Hakim comes back... Have you any last request?
Well, gee, let me think. Now I know how Scheherazade felt when she tried to tell those stories about... Hey.
What?
Nothing. Tell me, have you ever heard Mary Jane's other husband on the radio?
Well, no. Is it a funny story?
Oh, very funny. You die crying. Oh. As my last request, I'd like to tell you the story.
Go ahead.
Well, first I have to tell you what's gone on before and who the characters are.
Bullet.
Now, Mary Jane's other husband is the story of a loyal, sweet, self-sacrificing, lovable Mary Jane who, thinking her insane first husband had died when he jumped into an active volcano, has married again. Only to find that Derek is still alive and is demanding money from her as the price of silence.
Oh, no.
Her second husband is Tom Caswell, the handsome bank president, who married Mary Jane on the rebound when he was jilted by Serena Van Cleve, the beautiful, voluptuous heiress, who, hoping to win Tom back, has annulled her marriage to Count Master von Kreplach, an agent of the Black Hand, who knows that Mary Jane's weak younger brother, Jimsy, a cashier at the bank, was smuggled out of its penitentiary in a bass drum by Ozzie Radcliffe, a devil-may-care orchestra leader who's in love with both Mary Jane and Serena.
Oh, this sounds very good.
Well, you better get a pencil and paper and take notes. In a minute, this is going to get complicated.
More complicated?
Oh, sure. Now, Jimsy tells Mary Jane that Count Kreplach has forced him to steal $200,000 from Tom's bank and bet it on a horse.
Uh-huh.
When she goes to explain to Tom, she finds Serena in his arms. Serena tells her that Ozzy, in a moment of overindulgence, has revealed Jimsy's prison background.
Oh, this is exciting.
Uh-huh. And Tom tells her that he has an appointment with Derek in the morning. She goes to the hospital to get advice from young Dr. Sharp. But believing the lies an insanely jealous nurse has told him, he rudely refuses to talk to Mary Jane.
Oh, the cab.
Crushed, she goes home. And nearly hysterical, she gets out a revolver and puts the gun barrel in her mouth.
The executioner's cintery sharp, oh, blindingly magnificent one.
Slowly, her dainty finger tightens on the trigger. There's a deafening explosion. Listen in tomorrow for another exciting chapter of Mary Jane's other husband.
But what happened? What's the rest? Did she kill herself?
Well, I'm not going to tell you while Hakeem is standing around taking practice swings with that king-sized meat cleaver.
Shall I proceed? Oh, most merciful and gently of kings.
No, get out. Get out. Maisie, go ahead with the story.
Oh, but your hand...
Get out before I command you to slice off your own head.
Come back later.
Go on, Maisie. She put the gun in her mouth and pulled the trigger. What happened?
She missed.
Oh, what a letdown. Hakeem, come back.
Shall I proceed?
Yes.
And now wait. Suddenly, one of the curtains bellied out and a body fell into the room. It was Derek. The bullet she'd meant for herself had struck him. Was he dead? Was she a murderer? Should she let him die and thus be released from the terrible hold he has over her?
Let him die.
Hakeem, get out.
As you command, Your Highness.
Don't come back for over an hour. Go ahead, Maisie. Tell me more.
Well, as Mary Jane stood there trembling, looking down at Derek, she heard a sound behind her. Quickly, she turned around and then screamed. Oh, no, Mary Jane cried. You can't take my little girl away from me. You can't. She needs me and I need her.
Oh, this is terrible.
And as the jail matron led Mary Jane weeping from the courtroom, her little girl, the only one in the whole crowd who sympathized with her, held out her arms and called, Mommy! Mommy! Oh, please come back, Mommy!
Oh, how could they do that to a sweet, loyal, self-sacrificing, lovable woman like Mary Jane? Oh, I can't stand to think of people treating her like that.
Say, if we turn the radio on right now, we can just hear the tail end of today's show.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
I know the woman who plays Mary Jane on the radio. She's a wonderful girl. I'm crazy about it.
Oh, the poor woman.
It's coming on now. Listen.
Well, Mary Jane, are you still determined to take this foolish step?
Yes. I've made up my mind, Tom. It's the right thing. The good thing to do.
You realize that... You can't expect no help from me, of course.
Well, Tom, I had hoped that perhaps, somehow...
It's out of the question.
Then I will go alone, if I have to.
You know what this means. The whole town will turn against you. You won't have one person to be your friend. No, not even your own daughter.
Oh, Tom!
I'm giving you one more chance, Mary Jane. Well, I see you are not interested. Good day, then.
Goodbye, Tom.
lovable, Mary Jane. Are you going to throw away your whole life just to help a woman who, even now, is plotting to steal your daughter from you? And what about Dr. Grumbacher? What will he say when Stella and Tex tell him the news about Commander Carey? Where will Angela St. John fit into this picture? And will the narcotics agents release the trumpet player, Henry Embouchure? Don't forget to listen when...
Now, wasn't that beautiful?
Well, who are all those new people? I never heard of them.
How would you like to meet Mary Jane Maha?
Oh, Maisie, I would love it. There's such a lovely voice, such a sweet personality. You will fix it up? We can go out to dinner somewhere.
And why don't we invite your son and your new daughter-in-law if we can find them?
Never. But I've decided not to chop your head off.
Well, thanks, oh soaring buzzard of the east.
Instead, I will put you in the room with that camel and stifle you to death.
Your country sounds perfectly wonderful, Your Highness.
Yes, it's well placed, Mary Jane. If Maha here doesn't like you...
Yes.
He's never yet lost an argument on his home field.
Oh, please, Maisie. Have the kindness to stop telling the truth about me.
Oh, Maisie, I'm sure you're exaggerating. His Highness seems very sweet and very charming to me.
Oh, thank you, Mary Jane. And please, don't call me My Highness.
No, you can call him Maha. A Roger.
Please, Maisie, let me give her permission.
Well, suppose I call you,
Darling would be nice.
How about Tom?
Not after the way he acted today. Well, we can think about it later. We're all going to see a new musical comedy.
Oh, good. Did you get 3 seats for it?
No. I like to be comfortable, and I don't like people stepping on my toes. So I bought the entire 5th, 6th, and 7th rows, and we can sit in the middle.
Gee, Maisie, I just don't know what to do about Raj. I really am crazy about him, but you suppose we get along?
I wouldn't worry a bit if he'd unbend a little and give his blessing to his son and daughter-in-law.
He seems to be in love with me, but he's been an absolute ruler for so long. Oh, I'm sort of scared.
Oh, that may be the kids now. I told them to come here to your apartment.
Oh, hello, Maisie.
Hello, Maisie.
Hi, kids. I want you to meet Mary Jane. She may be your new mother.
Oh, hello. Listen, just after we came in, Father's car pulled up outside. So he's right behind us.
Oh, well, then hide in there in the bedroom. Quick.
Okay. And good luck, Mary Jane.
Thanks. Now, remember, Mary Jane, you've got to insist that he give his blessings to the king.
Oh, but Maisie, what if he refuses and goes away? I think I'd almost die if he did.
Oh, look, you've almost died so many times in the air, it ought to be old stuff to you.
But I never liked it.
Now, remember, don't give in.
Darling.
Oh, Mary Jane, my cooing white dove of the West, my adored one, my sweet, loyal, self-sac...
Hello, Maisie.
Hello, Maha.
What are you doing here? I have something very important to say to Mary Jane.
Yeah, I know. You can talk to me about it. I'm sort of her agent.
Mary Jane, you must tell me now. Will you marry me?
Oh, yes, darling, of course. But, there's one condition.
What is it?
You've got to give your son and his wife your blessing.
Yes, it's the right thing to do, Maha.
I'm sorry, I cannot do that. Look, Mary Jane, look at the ring I have for you. A star sapphire.
Oh, it's lovely.
Jeepers. It's big enough to be an insulator off a telephone post.
Mary Jane, darling, please do not insist on what you have asked.
Well, she's got to insist on it. If there isn't enough love in your heart for your son, how can there be enough for her?
Is this your final answer, Mary Jane? You don't want the ring.
What isn't the ring? But it's my final answer.
I'm sorry, but I must go then. Goodbye.
Oh, Maisie. Oh, he's gone. He's gone.
Oh, stop crying.
But he was so sweet and so nice in so many ways. I've got to stop.
No, you mustn't. If he loves you, he'll be back. Or do I sound too much like your soap opera?
I'm back. I have to come.
See there.
Oh, darling.
I will give them my blessing. Tell them to come out of the bedroom.
Why, Maha, you knew all the time.
Naturally. Hello, son. Forgive me for being so foolish.
Father, forgive me for being so hasty and allow me to present your daughter-in-law.
I'm glad to know you, Your Highness.
Well, you're much nicer than I thought. Here's your ring, my dear. And Maisie, Here's a ring for you, too.
Oh, well, this is beautiful. Why, Maha, this is the first time I ever had any jewelry worth more than $10 at a hot shop.
Oh, isn't this wonderful?
You know something? If I heard this on the radio, frankly, I wouldn't believe it.
In just a moment, we shall return to the adventures of Maisie.
Well, it was a beautiful wedding. The Maharaja's son was his best man, and Mary Jane looked lovely. So did the bridesmaid, if I do say so myself. And right after, they left on their honeymoon. Mary Jane wanted to see the world while there still was a world. Of course, they had to get a new Mary Jane for the radio show, and I tried out with a few other girls. As you may have noticed, if you listen to Mary Jane's other husband, I didn't get the job. The girl who got it has a pretty terrible voice, but she's got a very special talent. She happens to be the producer's mother. Well, come on, see. There must be a job for her somewhere. Let's go.
You have just heard The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern. Maisie was written by John L. Green. Original music was composed and conducted by Harry Zimmerman. Supporting cast included Hi Averback, Sidney Miller, Loreen Tuttle, Sammy Hill, Bob Cole, Ted DeCorsia, and Peter Lee. John Heaston speaking.